The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Jenny, thank you so much for joining us here on the Netball Show. And last night, which was Thursday here, it was so great to see Stacey Marinkovic, the Diamonds head coach, live on Fox Sports to reveal the squad. What did you make of the way that the squad was announced?
Hi, Sasha. Thanks very much for having me. Look, I think it's a great innovation for netball here in Australia. You know, there's a real appetite for news, and particularly around these big squad and team announcements. So I think it was terrific that it was announced the way it was.
Yeah, and great insight to have that access. And they didn't really hold back. I thought they could have pushed further, but they did ask some of the harder questions. And it was great to see that. So before we do get into the names in the squad, Stacey announced 18 athletes, but she could have named a squad of 22. She said she was going with what she called a conservative approach, as she will have to whittle it down to 12 for Birmingham 2022. So what do you make of that decision to name 18 players?
I think it's a smart one at the moment. They've had to name the squad fairly early, but the team for the Commonwealth Games doesn't actually have to be announced until after round 12. So I think this gives them the flexibility to see how other players are performing and potentially add them to the squad if they do choose.
Nice. Okay. Right. Well, let's get into the names in the squad. So in the shooting end, it's very difficult to look past Donal Wellham, who's made that selection. I mean, last season, a lot of the Netball Show fans who are based in England will be highly aware that she was under Dan Ryan at Leeds Rhinos. But just a few months ago, she was without a contract at all. And now she's sitting with Elite Company, having made it into the Diamond squad. So what do you make of her rise to fame in netball?
Oh, it's such a feel-good story, isn't it? You know, so Danelle's really only started playing elite netball about 3 or 4 years ago. She had a couple of seasons in the state league here in WA, then obviously the year with Leeds Rhinos, and now she started her season with Firebirds. And I think she, particularly with the retirement of Caitlin Bassett, you know, she offers something that we currently don't have in Australian netball, which is a tall post-up shooter, a holding shooter. She's also, you know, very accurate. She's very athletic, performing really well. She's sort of only sitting behind Janelle Fowler at the moment with the number of goals scored. So, and then she's also building that really beautiful connection with Gretel Boetta. So I think, you know, whether or not we see her in the Commonwealth Games 12 is debatable at the moment, but having her in the Diamonds squad, I think, will give her that experience. You know, she's a roughie for the Commonwealth Games, and looking ahead to the World Cup next year, you know, I wouldn't bet against her.
Yeah, nice. That's interesting, actually. And I was going to mention her partnership with Gretel, who is or has become a stalwart in the Diamonds setup. So do you think that their partnership at Firebirds has really helped Donal's case in terms of being selected?
Absolutely. But, I mean, look, it's a little bit of a poison chalice, that one, because I think the shooting circle for Australia is really going to revolve around how they want to use Gretel. And we saw in the quad series that she was largely used a goal shooter. So in that case, you know, we're more likely to perhaps see another goal attack selected to give the second option alongside Steph Wood to partner Gretel. However, if their thinking is to really use Gretel more as a goal attack, for example, then Danelle's got every chance of making the Comm Games squad because of that partnership. And I think we're also seeing a particular threat from countries like Jamaica, for example, who with Latanya Wilson and Shamira Sterling will have a very tall and a very athletic defensive circle. So, you know, Stacey could look at potentially going with two tall shooters in Gretel and Danelle in the circle to counteract that kind of threat.
Mm. Oh, I love that. That's interesting. All right. So, I mean, also in the shooting end, we've got Kira Austin, Gretel Boetta, who we've discussed, Sophie Dwyer, Sophie Garbin, Cara Conan, and Steph Wood as vice-captain. So what do you make of those other names that have been announced?
It's going to be an interesting one, I think, because, you know, Cara Conan's been a little bit down on form lately, so is Sophie Garbin, and we know that she's on the comeback from having COVID. Kira Austin's just getting over that long-term ACL injury. So I think it's a larger group of shooters than we normally see named, and I think the selectors are hoping that their choices will be sort of cemented a little bit more as we see them over the next six or seven rounds, as some of them continue to play themselves into form.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention that because it's worth saying there's seven players named in the shooting end, which is the highest number of athletes named in comparison to the midcourt, where there's six named players and the defensive end with five. So the next question is, how do you whittle it down and make that final cut? Obviously, the next couple of months of SSN are going to be crucial, right?
Yeah, they absolutely will be. And as I mentioned, we've got a number of shooters who are a little bit out of form at the moment, so that gives them time. But again, I think it all comes down to how they choose to use Gretel, and they'll then structure the rest of the shooters around her. So potentially a goal shooter that's quite different from Gretel and offers some really different characteristics out on court, and then which goal attacks they think will best support Gretel.
Oh, it's the Gretel shooting end down there. All right. Well, moving on to the middies now. We've got Ash Brazel, a lot of people celebrating her selection. Paige Hadley, Kate Maloney, Amy Parmenter, another one who made the cut, I don't think she did last time. Then we've got Jamie Lee Price and Liz Watson as captains. So what are your thoughts on those six? There's a lot of, sparkling with glitter, those names.
Yeah, it's a really interesting midcourt selection, and I know that fans are particularly unhappy about Kim Ravalian, for example, being overlooked. And then there's also, you know, calls about Kelsey Brown, but then you've also got three squad incumbents who have been cut in Maddie Proud, Verity Simmons and Jess Anstis. So I think for the selectors it's a really fine line. When I spoke to Stacey last night, she just mentioned that there's a number of factors that they'll be looking at, who combines well with each other, for example, who combines with the shooters, who can hold ball, who can release it, so turnovers are really going to come into play. But I think the single biggest thing that we've got to consider here, Sasha, is that there's a real time issue for the Diamonds. So normally in a pinnacle event year, they'd have a selection camp mid-season. They could, all those players and a bigger squad of mid-quarters would come into camp. The selectors would run through a whole range of combinations. They'd see what works, and then they'd announce their team from that. This year, because of the way the SSN is structured and it's finishing so late and later than any other country, the selectors don't have that luxury. So they've got to name their team of 12 based on what they're seeing now and the historical research they've done. So their Sophie's choice is, do they name a squad or a team that they know has worked recently, as we saw in the quad series, or do they include another player like a Kim Ravalian, for example, but risk, and it's a huge risk, that she is not necessarily going to gel well with some of the other players around her, and then it's too late to do anything about it. They're stuck with that selection. So that's the conundrum the selectors are facing. I think in going with the established squad that they know that works is probably a fairly smart move at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's really fascinating because you look at how the stats seem to have informed. Obviously, there's more than just stats that they look at when they are making these decisions. But Donal sitting second in the table for goals put up, you know, it feels as though that informed part of the decision to include her in the squad. And then you've got, you know, Kim Ravalian and Maddie Proud, who are sitting really high up with assists and, you know, other statistics like that. But obviously that's not necessarily important there. It's, as you say, it's about the tried and tested and those partnerships that they have. So it's just really interesting to compare those different things throughout the court, isn't it?
It is. And I think, I mean, it's not just what's happening within the circle, though. It's also what's happening throughout the midcourt. And I think, you know, you look at some of the other statistics and, you know, for example, and there was one I picked up on, is that penalty rate-wise, for example, Rav tends to have more penalties per minute of court time that she plays, and her turnovers are also, you know, slightly on the higher side compared to some of the mid-quarters, whereas her feeds are, you know, exceptional. You know, she's certainly leading the pack with feeds. So there's, as well as performances, you're right, there's a whole range of statistics that they'll look at. Feeds into the circle isn't the only one of them.
Yeah, so she could be costly while also rewarding, but you don't want that cost at the same time. Yeah, makes sense. That's really interesting. And so moving on to the defensive end, that selection was less controversial. We've got Sunday Ariang, Courtney Bruce, Sarah Clout, Maddie Turner and Joe Weston. And we obviously have that SSN duo of Sarah Clout and Maddie Turner. Do you think Maddie Turner will make that final cut, and how beneficial is their partnership to the Diamonds?
I think we need to mention also that Courtney Bruce and Sunday Ahyang obviously are the other partnership. It's my feeling, I think, that we will potentially see Sunday elevated over Maddie, in part for the reason that Sunday tends to stay in play a little bit more than Maddie, and under international umpiring, that's going to be something really significant for the Australian team to look at. And the other thing is their ability to win back ball, and that's something when I chatted to Stacey last night that she mentioned is going to be really important for the Diamonds, is, you know, players' ability to get their hands on ball and then return it safely down the court. But, you know, it really depends, again, what they're looking for. Maddie Turner does a fantastic shutdown job out on court. Sunday's probably a little bit more of a ball hunter. So, you know, depends on what the selectors are looking for, but I'd go for Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, Courtney and Sunday, well, they both look like they're having the season of their lives, and their partnership is just outstanding. So it is hard to look past them in that defensive end, isn't it?
It is. Although, you know, we've previously seen the back three of Joe Weston at wing defence and then Sarah Clough and Courtney Bruce used in either GD or GK together. And to me, that's also a really exciting combination for Australia. You know, it's very tall, very long arms, lots of hands over pressure. So we've seen it used before. It's very effective, and it wouldn't surprise me to see that one come out at the Comm Games too.
Nice. Okay. And I mean, Emily Mannix is probably the only omission from that defensive end that we did see previously, and obviously she didn't make the cut this time. Why do you think that is?
I think Emily's been really unlucky over the last few seasons with some really badly timed injuries. You know, she's had a hip, she's had a broken finger that needed surgery, and it's just, it's hasn't given her as much continuity as perhaps some of the other players. So, yeah, she's really unlucky, but unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. I think the other player that's really worth mentioning here is young Ruby Bakel-Doran. You know, she's pushed Kimmy Jenner out of the starting seven at the Firebirds. We've only seen her out on court for about three rounds, but she's a wonderful ball hunter, and she, again, she's incredibly clean, you know, much in the mould of a Sunday Ahyang. So too soon, far too soon, I think, for her to be included in the Diamond squad. But, you know, if she continues improving in the way that she has, we potentially could see her added to one of those four spots in the squad that are still vacant.
I mean, looking at that squad that Stacey has named, how confident do you feel that the Diamonds will take back the gold that they so desperately want back in their trophy cabinet?
That's a really hard question, Sasha. look, I will always back in the Diamonds, you know, with my little beating Aussie heart. However, I think it's going to be a really interesting Commonwealth Games. To me, Jamaica are probably the real dark horse of this series. We've got a lot of their players now, both in the SSN and England, and you can't, you know, buy that experience. It's just invaluable for them. It's going to be how well their midcourt stands up. But for their shooting and defensive ends, you know, it's looking really positive. New Zealand, you can never underestimate, although they've got some real challenges around, you know, players returning from pregnancy and players that aren't able to be selected for that reason. England, I think, have just, you know, will be incredibly dangerous. They've taken a real hit, obviously, with the loss of Serena Guthrie, so it's going to be interesting to see how Thelby manages that. And South Africa, teams like South Africa, Zimbabwe, Uganda, you can never underestimate what they're going to do either. So my Aussie heart says yes, but I think it's a very level playing field, which we've been working hard towards in World Netball, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that is true. I totally agree with you in terms of what you said about New Zealand and England. Like, you know, we definitely will feel the loss of Serena, and it's going to be interesting to see if there are any mid-quarters that can really fill her gigantic Serena Guthrie shaped shoes, which are just like very difficult to fill, obviously. Yeah, and I mean, obviously we've got Tamsin Greenway coaching Scotland as well, so I'm wondering, you know, they could also be a threat in this Commonwealth Games as well. Have you been keeping an eye on them at all?
I have, and I, you know, you never underestimate a squad that's coached by both Tamsin and also Sarah Frances Bayman. You know, they're both absolute tactical masterminds. And I think we're at the point where outside of the top five nations, you've got a whole group of countries that probably won't be consistent enough to win the overall tournament. but on any given day, they could definitely take out one of the top nations and really shake up results, as we saw happened with that game where Malawi beat New Zealand back at the last Commonwealth Games. So, yeah, as you know, teams like Scotland, as I said, I don't think they'll win overall, but they can certainly ruffle quite a few feathers if they want.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting. Well, the countdown is on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're down to about 98 days, so it is very exciting.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Jenny.
My pleasure, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.